comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. You could be a million other places doing a million other things, but you've chosen to be here, and I want you to know I appreciate it. We're here because you have a right to know. We're here because you matter. I have, over the past 24 hours, received a number of emails and telephone calls, including a telephone call from my mom, expressing concern for my family due to the flooding in Bangkok, Thailand. As you know, my family is in Thailand. And I want to thank you for those emails and phone calls expressing concern, but I want to lay your fears to rest. My family, although in Thailand, is not in Bangkok. My family is at our home, and our home is a long ways north of Bangkok. So they're doing just fine, but thank you so much for your concern. I do appreciate it, and I've already passed that along to my wife. I talked to her just before showtime and told her about your emails and phone calls, and she said to thank you. So from Mrs. Smith, thank you. Jesse in California sent me an email saying that he enjoys the music we play during the show, but he said, do you ever just play the kind of music you like, the kind of music you listen to? I would like to have a show where you play what you listen to. So you're going to get it tonight. I like and I listen to what I refer to as gut rock. Now, gut rock is just really hard, tight rock music. So, okay, Jesse, you're going to get it tonight. And those of you that like rock music, you'll like this tonight. The Alchemy event is coming up November the 11th through the 13th. You've been hearing us talk about it here on The Kevin Smith Show. I will be speaking at this event on Sunday, the 13th. I will arrive and just mix with the crowd, meet and greet, beginning on Saturday the 12th. I would like to be there on the 11th, but there's no way because I need to be here to do the show on the night of the 11th. But early the next morning, I'll get up and get on an airplane and arrive in Los Angeles on the 12th. And I'll go straight to the venue, and I hope to meet you there. I really do. I'm not kidding. I appreciate so much all of you who listen to the show. This show is made possible by our listeners, not only financially. Now, that's true. It is listener-supported. But also, many of the voiceovers, the graphics, some of the video, lots and lots and lots of stuff that you see here and music that we use, it comes from our listeners. You make this show. You construct this show. I want to meet you. And so I'm hoping you'll come out and be with us out there in Los Angeles. There is a special deal for those of you coming out just for Sunday. You want to come out on Sunday. You get in on all of the events, including my lecture, my presentation, and our meet and greet following. Only $59 for that. So go to that website that you see on your screen, alchemyevent.com/id5.html, and register. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I told you this is going to be a night for the kind of music I most enjoy at the request of Jesse out in California. Carl in Idaho also sent me an email during the week. He was visiting with a friend. I don't know which friend, but it was someone that was a member of the Kevin Smith Show. And he watched the show last night, and he saw what you just saw if you are watching the show, and that is during the first break. It has a message that flashes up that says, "The world will not end on October 21st. And he says, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, "Dude, October 21st is already past." And my answer to Carl is, "Dude, that's the point." There was a prediction that October 21st was going to be it. And we're still here. All right. Let me remind you about our members community. If you're not a member, you can take care of it right now, and you can watch the rest of this show and all upcoming shows. The members community is absolutely fantastic. There's nothing like it with any other show anywhere on the Internet. Now, we're not just on the Internet, but if you want to watch the show, that is on the Internet, and the members community is. But the members community is absolutely fantastic. You get our archives. You get to watch the shows. You have your own blog, your own photo album, your own video album, forums, chat, UFO paranormal news feeds, private messaging, special broadcasts, and lots more. For the fantastically high sum of $7.50 per month, $7.50 per month, come on, that's 25 cents a day. And we'll give you the first 7 days free for right now. It is a limited time offer, so you need to take advantage of it. Those of you who know me know that if I say it's a limited time offer, it is limited, and there will come a point where that will simply vanish. If you want the first 7 days free, here's the way to get it. Right now, sign up right now. But let me tell you, if you do that right now and you want to watch the show, you can't skip steps. All right? The instructions right there on the page when you log in after you've joined. When you log in, the instructions right there in front of your eyes for your eyes to read. Say for you to read the new members info. Read that. The link's on the left. So read that. And then you'll be able to understand how to watch the show. It's not complicated, but there is a secret, and it's in that file. All right, speaking of secrets, I often say that secrets are power, knowledge is freedom. I hear people say all the time, knowledge is power. It isn't. It isn't. It's freedom. Secrets are the power. Knowledge means you know the secrets, and then they have no power over you. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. Well, the Kevin Smith Show is always on a quest for knowledge. Night after night, for 11 years, I've been presenting information and guests who present information. Now, some people send me email and angrily encourage me, I guess is the word, to vet this information before I put it out. Well, they want me to present only what is absolutely provably true. Now, look, if that's what you expect, then every news media would have to go out of business. Every news media. Because they present to you the information that's available at the time. And it's a developing story. As the story develops, they get more information. And the original information will either be proved up or proved down. They report a politician saying, "I did not have sex with that woman." Well, should they vet that before they let him say that on the air? Well, how could they? He said what he said, and subsequent events vetted that statement and proved it down. If you really expect, when you say you demand that I vet it all before I present it, see, that's two things, vetting what you're asking for. That's censorship and permission for you to be lazy. So if that's what you expect, you're wasting expects, folks. Because by demanding that, in effect, you're asking me to do your thinking for you. And I'm not going to do that. As I say, if that's what you expect, you're wasting expects, as our audience knows. Now, having said that, let me remind you that I do open the telephone lines for you to call in with questions and comments. And that's your opportunity to vet the information yourself. I have then really no sympathy at all for those who sit in mushroom silence and do not call. And then you have questions, you have doubts. That's what you chose. If you choose to be ignorant, you get it every time. Now, we've had a number of guests over the years who have told us that there are bases on the moon, and we've talked about this a number of times here on the show. We've been told that there are alien bases on the moon, particularly on the backside of the moon. We've been told that there are our bases on the moon, that we have bases on the moon as well. And the guests that have told us these things are people who would be in a position to know. There is no way that I can get behind the veil and know for sure what they know. Now, the reason for that is because that veil is called classified information. And if they share something with us that is behind that veil but is not specifically classified, but is still sort of information that's kept behind that veil, they have the clearance, I don't. So how it's not possible to vet that. I guess you could go to the moon and look for yourself, but that's pretty much impossible for us to do that, isn't it? But one thing that is possible is I can't go to the moon, you can't go to the moon, but there are satellites from various nations who have sent satellites to the moon. Those satellites are up and around the moon and have taken pictures. And so we have photographic evidence. So, you know, how can we vet the claims of those who say that there are bases on the moon? Well, there is photographic evidence of something up there. George Leonard, several years ago, published a book called Somebody Else is on the Moon. And it's a really fantastic book. I recommend that you get it. I believe it's still in print. I think it's still available. But it's an old book. I've got a copy of it that was given to me. And I have to tell you, it is a fantastic book. But it is an early work providing early photographic evidence that there is something going on the moon. Why is it important for us to even be thinking about this? Because I'm going to show you some more recent photographic evidence tonight. Why is this even important? Why should you even care? Because not only is somebody else on our moon, something's going on we're not being told about. And the evidence for that is all over major media. Something going on related to the moon we're not being told about. Evidence is all over the media. The evidence is the silence. President George W. Bush said, we're going back to the moon. We're going to build a base on the moon. And then it's on to Mars. NASA began preparing for that. NASA began designing the spacecraft to do that. I hope you are aware of the fact that a space shuttle cannot go to the moon. Since the Apollo program ended and they dismantled all of the Saturn V rockets, we have not had a rocket capable of getting to the moon. You are aware of that, right? Now, in the secret space program, do they have rockets that are capable of going to the moon? Probably not. Not rockets. Spacecraft, yes, but not conventional rockets like we know. They probably have advanced spacecraft that can get to the moon and to Mars and everywhere else they want to go. But for you and me out here in the public, there have been no rockets capable of going to the moon since the end of the Apollo program. They dismantled those. They took them apart. Not only did they stop building them, they dismantled the ones that were partially put together and ready for the next Apollo flights. You know, they suddenly canceled Apollo just like that. After Apollo 17, they said, that's it, we're not going back. But they already had the next Apollo mission built, paid for, ready to launch, and they had the astronaut crew trained and ready to go. And they never explained why. Oh, they said it was, you know, budget cuts. But it was already built and paid for. It was, that mission was already on. It was already done. Apollo 18 was to be the next mission, and it was done. It was already paid for and ready to fly. So it wasn't budget cuts. And that was a big mystery. It's a mystery that a lot of people have talked about. I've talked about it. Lots of other shows and guests on shows have talked about that. Well, there's another mystery now that is equivalent, if not greater. And that is that George W. Bush, while president, said we were going to go back to the moon, we were going to build a small base there, and then it was on to Mars. And everybody was just thrilled that this was about to happen, and NASA began building the program, began building the rockets, the spaceship, to do that. Then along comes the Barack Hussein Obama administration. So we had the George W. Bush administration. Now we have the Barack Hussein Obama administration. They took a look at it, and they said, we can't afford to do that. So once again, with this program heavily underway, a lot of it already built and paid for, we can't afford to do it. And so they canceled going back to the moon. The Obama administration canceled going back to the moon. And then, from the ashes of all of that, NASA rises up with, we're building a rocket for deep space. And there are pictures of this on the internet. You can go find them, NASA's new deep space rocket. Plus, they have the new 100-year spaceship. And that's being built for really deep space travel. We can't afford to go to the moon, but we can afford to build rockets powerful enough to go way beyond the moon into deep space. The mystery is the moon. In the Apollo program, we suddenly cancel the program and say, that's it, we're not going back. Even though the next mission was already paid for, ready to launch, it was already built, assembled, all they had to do is drag it out to the launch pad and launch it. They already had the crew selected and trained and ready to go. The mission was on, and they canceled it. so we didn't go to the moon. Again, we've never been back to the moon, so far as you and I know. And now we have George W. Bush saying, okay, we're going to go back to the moon. And then Barack Obama saying, no, we're not. And the excuse, again, budget. We can't afford it. But we can afford to build something to go further than the moon. See, that doesn't make sense, does it? We can't afford to go from here to the moon, but we can afford to go from here way, way beyond the moon into deep space. And they're building that now. Right now. Most of that has already been constructed. It's in test flights now, most of it. Does that make sense to you? You see, there's the mystery here is, what is it about the moon that is saying to whoever's making the decisions, you can't go back to the moon? There's something about the moon that's saying to Barack Obama and his people, no, don't go back to the moon. And it's saying to them, it's something that's big enough and bad enough that's saying to them, you better put a cover story on it. And so they did. The cover story, we can't afford it. The problem with the cover story is that NASA's doing something even bigger and more expensive. So it isn't the budget. It's not the budget that's keeping us from going back to the moon. What is it? What is it that's keeping us from heading back to Luna? Ladies and gentlemen, I think perhaps George Leonard was right when he wrote his book, Somebody Else is on the Moon. I think there is evidence for that. I think that whoever else is on the moon doesn't want us coming back there and has told us in no uncertain terms to stay away. Just as we have heard in the rumors for, well, since the Apollo programs, we've been hearing the rumors that the so-called aliens told us not to come back. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and when we do come back from this break, I'm going to show you some pictures. We'll be back.
Listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about, is somebody else on the moon? And I said before we went to the break, I think the mystery about why we didn't go back to the moon and why plans to go back to the moon both were canceled, and both said it was budget, and it's provably untrue in both cases. In the first case, it's provably untrue because it was already paid for. Built, paid for, and ready to launch. Then in the second case, provably untrue because they canceled the building of the rockets to go back to the moon because they said, we don't have the money. And now they're building even bigger, more powerful rockets to go into deep space. Provably untrue that it was a budgetary problem. So what is it? What's the mystery about the moon that's keeping us from going back to the moon? And I said, I think it's possible that George Leonard was right with his book. His book is Somebody Else is on the Moon. I think there is a good case for that. I really do think there's a good case for that. I don't think that those are the musings of a deranged mind at all. And I think those who dismiss George Leonard's book and his work, and they dismiss information such as we present on this show as being the musings of deranged minds, those are in fact anesthetized, drugged, mind-controlled zombies, or they are outright disinformation operatives, one or the other. Because I think the evidence is pretty clear. Now, you can find photographs of all kinds of anomalies on the moon, and they, you know, lots and lots and lots of those that you look at, they will appear to you to be, you know, well, yeah, it's a little strange, but it could be geology. So what I have selected here tonight, for those of you who are watching, if you're not, cure that problem by joining our members community and read the new members info quickly, and you'll be able to watch and see these pictures. But for those who are watching, I've selected pictures to use tonight that are unambiguous. And when you see them, there is nothing about them that looks like geology did it. Now, the pictures I've selected, I've put the website address where you can go view these on the pictures. It's in the lower left-hand corner. So if you're interested in going and viewing these pictures yourself, you can. There are a great many more. But a lot of the pictures at that website, while I would say, yeah, that's artificial, they don't jump right out at me and say, this is artificial, and there's no way this could be geology. So the ones I've selected are the ones that do jump out and demand that you face the facts. And let's just begin. The very first one is quite interesting, because what we're looking at is, these are taken by the lunar orbiter, and what we're looking at is quite obviously a structure. Now, these being lunar orbiter photographs and being from a satellite are a little bit blurry, but not so blurry that you can't see that this is artificial construction. I'm going to step away from being politically correct, which would be to say this appears to be artificial structure. And I'm going to say that is artificial structure. Geology didn't build this. Now, it looks like we're in, you know, I don't know if this is a small crater that this is built in, or if those are shadows around the structure that are causing it to look very dark around the structure. But it looks like a stepped pyramid kind of thing, only it's not actually, doesn't come to a point at the top like a pyramid. It is stepped, and then it's a large flat area with what looks like a metallic building on the top of it. And this metallic structure on the top is reflecting light. The way it's reflecting light makes it appear it's a rounded roof. Now, is that some type of facility, some type of factory, something like, I don't know. I can't tell. But what I can tell is that's not something geology did. There are coordinates, for those of you who want to use any of the, there are several online services where you can take a look at the moon and Mars, so forth. Well, the coordinates on the moon are up in the upper right-hand corner, and you can copy those down and go take a look at this for yourself. Or you can go to the website that's listed in that lower left-hand corner, and you can view these at that website. These pictures are NASA/ASU pictures. That stands for Arizona State University. So you can also probably find this at the ASU Lunar Orbiter website. I'm pretty sure you'd be able to find them there. I have no idea if NASA still has these up. But these are from the website listed in the lower left-hand corner, and these originally are from the NASA ASU Lunar Orbiter site. That's a factory, or that is a some type of facility, some type of artificial structure, I am quite certain. And it's not the only one that's over there. Now, we're going to see several pictures tonight, and the last one that I'm going to show you is really quite amazing, but it's one we've seen on this show before. Now, this second picture is of a different coordinates, different coordination location. Take a look at the coordinates in the upper right-hand corner on the first picture, and then you will see they are different in the second picture. So this is not just a different view of the same thing. And what we're looking at here is, again, something that looks like a stepped construction. It is rectangular. It is very definitely something that geology would not produce. There are two metallic structures here, it appears. When I say metallic, I'm saying that because they are reflecting light and bright reflection of light. So it gives it the appearance that this is something metallic. It may not be. It may be glass. It may be ceramic. It may be some type of superplastic. But it has the appearance of being metallic. And both of these structures appear to have, again, the rounded roof. Not round like a dome, but you know what a Quonset hut is, right? You know, the little half-circle hut. Looks like a half circle. That's what these look like. They have what looks like a rounded roof. Now, this picture also has something coming out of the top of this structure. Maybe. It looks like a dark streak, something like you would see if there was some sort of smoke or vapor rising above this structure. But that might not be the case. That might be something else. It's hard to tell. But what's not hard to tell is that we're looking at a very rectangular structure. It is in many layers. And by many layers, I mean there are several levels. It's not just ground level. There are several levels of it. And there are these two areas where it looks like a metallic rounded roof. So if the top of the picture is north, which it is, the structure on the left runs north and south. The structure on the right runs east and west. And the structure on the right just has the appearance of maybe being L-shaped. But again, because of the fact that this is taken from very high with a satellite, it's a little blurry, so it's hard to tell for sure if that takes a turn and runs L-shaped. But it looks like maybe it does. The third picture that I want to show you looks like the entrance to an underground base. To me, now I'm just guessing what it is. Again, this is a different location on the moon, and the coordinates are up there. I see that I did not put the website in the lower left-hand corner on this one, but it's the same as the first two. And we have something here that looks like, well, a straight road or a runway. And then at the end of it, a very large rectangular hole in the ground. That's what it looks like to me. Around it are arranged some white dots. I don't know what those are. It's a little blurry, hard to see. I don't know what those white dots are. They're blobs. They could be dome shapes arranged in kind of a circle or a semicircle around this rectangle. Now, all of these are on the moon. Let me go back to the first one. In the first one, this is the one that is multi-level, kind of like a ziggurat, a stepped pyramid. But on the top, there is this structure running left to right, and it appears to have that rounded top on it. There's no possibility that geology built this. None. In my opinion, there is no possibility that geology did this. This is not nature. And even if we were to decide that, well, geology did do this, do you realize that would mean the moon would have to be a great deal more geologically active than it is? It just isn't. It isn't geologically very active at all. This is an artificial structure, in my opinion. It is on the moon. That's not my opinion. And provided that my first opinion is correct, provided that it is artificial, what that means is somebody else is on our moon. Have you ever read Ingo Swann's book called Penetration? Penetration, if you can find it out there. It's out of print, but if you can find it, it'll cost you a lot of money to get it. But if you can get it, get it. I think there are probably some places where you can read it online as an e-book now. But you need to read it. Ingo Swann is one of the first persons that the military used to try and figure out how to do remote viewing. Ingo Swann, well, I'll pick up there when we come back. Break just took over and we have to step away. We'll pick up with Ingo Swann when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I was talking about Ingo Swann when we stepped away. Ingo Swann wrote a book called Penetration. He is one of the most amazing individuals alive on this planet. And he is one of the people, one of the principal people, that the military, the spooks, investigated. All of the military are not spooks, but the spooks in the military and the CIA investigated how, what he does and how he does it. And from the information they gleaned from him and from others, they developed remote viewing. And he talks about being given a project to view a target. He did not realize where this target was. But it turns out it was on the moon, and there were living beings there who detected his being there. A really scary situation for him. And some of you hear that and you say, oh, well, that's just nonsense. That's, you know, I mean, anybody can say that they went to the moon. Anybody can say they saw beings on the moon. Yeah. But how do you explain what's in the photographs? What's in the photographs shows to my satisfaction, very clearly that somebody else is on the moon. What's in the photographs shows to my satisfaction very clearly why we are not going back to the moon. Somebody is there who doesn't want us there. In my opinion, that's the case. And I want to remind you that what kicked this off is the black hole in the information. I want to remind you that what kicked all of this off and made me look at this and really think about this and consider the evidence on this is that what we were being told simply didn't match the facts. You tell us that we're canceling the Apollo program and we're doing it for budgetary reasons when the next Apollo mission has already been built, paid for, assembled, ready to fly, the crew is ready to go, and you cancel it and they don't go. And you tell us it's because of budget cuts when it's already been paid for. That doesn't wash. So then we have George W. Bush who comes along and says, as president, we're going back to the moon. I want NASA to go back to the moon. We're going to build a base there, and then it's on to Mars. And everybody's excited about it. NASA starts building. Billions of dollars get spent, and the stuff is already being built. It's already being assembled. And then here comes Barack Obama and says, we can't afford to go back to the moon. So NASA cancels that program, and what are they building now? Rockets bigger, more powerful, to go way beyond the moon. So the story that we couldn't afford to go back to the moon is not true. Am I saying that the Obama administration lied to us? The answer to that question should be obvious. It isn't a budgetary problem that's keeping us off of the moon. That's not the reason. It cannot possibly be the reason. If you've already got the rocket paid for, built, assembled, and ready to fly, and then you tell us we can't because the budget's been cut. You've already paid for the mission, and the budget's been cut. So we have to cancel that mission. What you just did is you just flushed billions of dollars down the toilet that you already spent. It was already paid for. There had to be another reason. When you tell us we can't go back to the moon because we can't afford this program, and then you cancel the program, and that cost you billions of dollars to pay off the contractors for canceling the program, and you've already spent billions, and then you reinvest and start spending billions more to build a deep space rocket, telling us that it was because of the budget is not true. It cannot possibly be true. It is a lie. There is another reason for why we can't go back to the moon. What is the reason? Well, I think the reason is in the photographs. Somebody else is on the moon, and they don't want us showing up there. Someone else is there. And what we have heard over the years, the rumors that we've heard from various places on the internet have reported astronauts saying we were told by the aliens not to come back. That being the case, you put it all together and you look at the photographs and you know what you get? You get a pretty good indication that that story, that scenario is true. You get a pretty good indication and pretty good supportive evidence that there are extraterrestrials on the moon that do not want us there. Does any of this make sense to you? Are you thinking about this? I mean, this is something you really need to consider. You really need to think about it because we're being told, we were told once, can't go back because the budget was cut. But further investigation showed that next mission was already paid for. They canceled it anyway. Can't go back to the moon because we can't afford to build the rocket to get there. So they cancel it. Even though it was already being built, they canceled it. And now they're building something bigger and more powerful to go to deep space. More expensive. The budget can't be the problem. It's not the answer to the mystery. It's not the solution. The budget isn't the reason we're not going back to the moon. Does that make sense to you? So, what's the reason? And there's the black hole. The reason for why we're not, the real reason why we're not going back to the moon, there's where the black hole is. And that's when they won't talk about it, that's where the truth is. Anything people won't talk about, there's a lot of truth hiding right inside of it. And so I decided to dive into this black hole and see what's there. And what's there is solid evidence that somebody else is on the moon. Now let me show you some more evidence and see what you think. Now, I found this picture originally, actually it was a link to this picture, on the forums called Above Top Secret, ATS, in one of the posts on ATS. Had a link to this picture. Now, if you go to this website, and the website is listed on the screen, if you go to this website, this picture is what you will see. And you will see some controls at the bottom of this picture where you can zoom in. You can click it and it'll zoom in. You click it again, it'll zoom in more. And if you do that, you will find in this picture something pretty amazing. You will find something that looks like a tower and some construction around it. Those who are watching our TV channel, and as I said, if you're not, well, you could be. The picture on the left is the one that's at Above Top Secret. Now, that's what I first saw, and I've done no changes to that at all. The one on the left is what you see at Above Top Secret, and that's what you'll see if you zoom in on that picture that I told you about. It is the Lunar Orbiter picture of an area of the moon. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. We're talking about somebody else is on the moon. Now, there's a book by that title. It was written by George Leonard several years ago. I think it's still in print. But you can check that out on the internet. I think you can still find copies of it. It's an excellent book. But it's one of the early attempts to document the fact that there is, in fact, someone else on our moon. It's not just a big barren ball of rocks and dust like we were led to believe. It is apparently inhabited. Now, if that sounds nuts to you, well, then you did miss the first hour. Folks, the whole thing about somebody else being on the moon, you know, you might say, well, okay, so why is that important? Let me tell you why that's important. Because they are right next door. I mean, we can almost reach out and just touch them. They are really next door. And we have governments covering it up and trying to keep us in the dark and not know that there's somebody else out there on that moon. and they're continuing to come to you and ask you to support the search for extraterrestrial life. It's right freaking there. Now, you might say, I am not buying it. I don't think there's anybody else on the moon. Okay. All right. I want to use a line that Sherlock Holmes used. When you eliminate the impossible, whatever else is left, regardless of how improbable it may be, is the truth. So let me ask you, do you think that these pictures that we've looked at, do you think these structures were built by us? Okay. If so, then they're keeping it a secret that we are on the moon with facilities. Now, if you think, as many of you think, that we never even went to the moon, then you have to assume that that's not us. Somebody else is on the moon. Now, if you think we did go to the moon, but we did not build bases there, then pray tell, who built these structures? Now, I had just started to show you a picture that I got off of, and had just started to discuss this picture that I got from the Above Top Secret forums. But the picture that's on the Above Top Secret forums, ATS forums, is the picture on the left on your screen now. It looks like a tower. It doesn't look like it is a tower of some kind. I don't know what it's for, but we can see there's a lot of supportive structure under it. And there it is, sticking up. It is from this picture, the LO5-125-H2A photograph. And that's the lunar orbiter scan. The website for that photograph that's on the screen right now is at the bottom on the left side. So you feel free to copy that down and go to it. You'll see this, and you can zoom in, and you can find in this photograph, you can find this tower that we're looking at. Now, on the right, what I've done is brighten it up and enhance it just a little bit so that we can see a little better, because it's pretty dark. Although, even before I enhance it, you can see the tower quite clearly sticking up there. If that's not us, how did that get there? If you think that there's no such thing as aliens living on the moon, extraterrestrials living on the moon, if that's what you think, then how did this get there? Somebody built that. That's not geology. Somebody built that. Just like those other structures we looked at. So you see, when you eliminate the impossible, whatever is left, regardless of how improbable it may seem, is the truth. So the evidence shows that there is intelligent life on the moon. Now you might say, well, that's pretty interesting, but you know, I'm not so sure about all of this. I'm still a little ambivalent about it. I mean, it could be this, it could be that. Yeah, it could be George Washington's cherry tree too, couldn't it? It is what it is, folks. A cow is a cow, it's not a Cadillac. It is what it is, it is what it appears to be. We may not can identify exactly what it is, but we know what it is not. It is artificially built, it is not something geologically constructed. There's a picture that we looked at on this show. We dealt with it before. I got the original that I used for that show. I got that directly off of NASA's website. You may remember this. But it shows a crater, what looks like a crater at first, but when you zoom in, you can see there is, okay, it's a large spaceship. It's kind of shaped like the shuttle, but not really. And there it sits, as if it is awaiting a crew to come and fly it into space. Let's zoom in on that. Let's take a closer look. Well, there it is, folks. You know, that's not a sandbar. That is something definitely separate from its surroundings. Look at the shadow at the front of this thing on the left side. Look at the front. Look at the shadow that it's casting against the crater wall. You can see the cockpit area. Look at this thing. All right, if we're not back on the moon, then who did that? You think geology did that? If you think geology did that, I really want to talk business with you. I got some stuff to sell you. All right, I tell you what I want to do. I want to go to the telephones and invite you to join the conversation here this evening. The telephone number, I will give it once, so write it down. It is, I'll give it two or three times, but it'll all be right now. 623-444-5889. Again, that's 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, we understand it can be quite expensive to make international long-distance calls. So you can either call that number, 623-444-5889, or you can send me a flash message by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and then right above that picture is the link for a flash message, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think the photographic evidence proves there are bases, and they're probably alien bases. And I remember several weeks ago you showed us a picture from an amateur astronomer, I think from Peru or somewhere in South America.
Yeah, Argentina, I think.
Argentina, okay. Mm-hmm. And the pictures were very clear.
Yeah.
You think there's any way he could photograph these pictures that you were showing?
Well, he might, but let me tell you something interesting about that person. Since releasing that on the internet, and he released it in a, actually he released it in a discussion group of people that are members of an astronomy group, and one of them sent it to me. But he said, if anyone has any interest in seeing some very interesting structures on the moon, let me know. Since then, nobody can find him.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Assuming, if you're like me, I believe that the powers that want to be actually control the administrations, whether it be George Bush administration or Obama administration, I think it's the same power that's controlling these. I wonder what happened in between those two administrations that they took the threat serious. There must have been some incident that, you know, for them to do a 180.
Maybe. There is some indication, and I can't go into all the details, but there's some indication that toward the end of his administration, George Bush, towards, you know, about just past halfway, George Bush sort of became unmanageable and did things they didn't want or expect him to do, and there were ripple effects of that. this may be, this announcement that we're going back to the moon may have been one of those things where he just did something they didn't want him to do.
That's interesting. I didn't think that he had that kind of character that he would go against, you know what I mean, the powers that be.
Well, it's a long story, and it's one I can't verify, but it's a story I was told by someone who is supposed to be very much on the inside, that they were putting their thumb on him pretty heavily, and he began to rebel.
That's interesting. Maybe at some time you'll be able to go further, you know, into that story. Were the Chinese, the Indians, or the Japanese, were they warned away from the moon?
Well, I don't know. You know, since they haven't actually landed there with a crew, with humans, I would suggest they probably have not been warned away. If they ever do land, I would suggest they probably are going to get a face-to-face confrontation. As it was said by an astronaut, alleged to have been said by an astronaut, that we had a face-to-face confrontation, and they told us in no uncertain terms, don't come back.
That might be a reason why we're doing an end run around the moon with these deep space rockets.
Well, I would think so. I don't, you know, I recognize that what I'm saying, as my opinion, is speculation. I understand that it has to be speculation because I haven't been to the moon. But based on the photographic evidence, I think the photographic evidence fills in a whole lot of this, of the speculation, and says, yeah, that's real. So I think someone else is on the moon. And not only is somebody else on the moon, they've got the capability to fly here. And if they've told us not to come back, and we know they can fly here, then I think that's probably why we're heeding the warning not to come back. Now, the reason I say they can fly here is this picture of a spacecraft setting on the moon. I don't know if you're watching the show tonight, but if you are, you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. It's really big. That's about, you know, that's something on the order of about 8 shuttles.
Yeah, I saw that. It did look huge. I do think that they are taking the threat serious. But, you know, last night when I talked with Dr. Louis Torrey at the end of the show, I don't want to misrepresent him, but I think he alluded to the fact that they're not a threat to us.
Yes, he did say that. However, there are nations that are not a threat to the United States until we make ourselves appear to them to be a threat to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dog that is friendly and everybody can pet it will still bite you if he thinks you're threatening him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it, on the one hand, while ETs may not be a threat to us, if we show up there with our warlike ways, we're a threat to them, and they have a right to defend themselves, and I think they would.
It makes me wonder what we're going to do when they tell us not to go into deep space.
Well, I guess we'll have the rocket built, ready to launch, the crew selected, and we'll say we have a budget problem.
Hey, Kevin, you keep on finding the black hole in the information because you're doing a real good job. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, the telephone line is open. If you have a question or comment about all of this, I want to hear from you. I really would like to know if you think that the evidence is pretty clear that there is somebody else on the moon. To me, I think the evidence is crystal clear that somebody else is on the moon. And yes, I think there are ancient ruins on the moon. At the same time, I would have to say, I think there's evidence that there are currently intelligent beings living there. And what are they doing? I don't know. But apparently they are living there and doing something there because we see facilities. And, you know, now the other possibility for these pictures would be that those are facilities that we built. That's a possibility. It is a possibility that this huge spacecraft that's sitting right there on the moon. And by the way, that the master picture for that is right there on NASA's website. Remember when I did the show about this? In fact, folks, to help you remember, let's go to the unzoomed picture. This is the one where I zoomed in on that horizon out there and brightened it up and showed you all kinds of buildings, big buildings. There's a huge hangar back there. Remember that? Well, this is it. This is the picture. All right, and this is right off of NASA's website, the master picture. By master picture, I mean the original that we worked with on that night. Now, this one is not from that master picture, okay? Well, it is. But what this is someone who had better software than me that cleared up this picture even more than I was able to, so we can see this spacecraft, okay? And but you remember the show. I showed you this, although it was not as clear as in this one. This is somebody that had better software than I've got and did a better job of cleaning this up, brightening it up. It's really dark in the master photograph, okay, in the main photograph. But look, you can see the nose of this thing. You can see the cockpit. You can see that there's no tail fin and rudders. You can see little wings sticking out of the back. This thing looks like it's ready to fly right now. As a matter of fact, Charles Hall has been a guest on this show. Remember Charles Hall? He's the guy that told us about the tall whites. Well, he said that as these ships that he saw, as they energize and get ready to fly, they form sort of a haze around them. Now, if you'll look at this picture, you'll see there is, across the top of this spaceship, sort of a hazy area, as if perhaps it is energizing, getting ready to take flight. Or maybe it just landed. You see that haze across the top of that? Well, maybe this thing is just beginning to fire up and get ready to take flight. All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Great show tonight. Love the topic. One of my favorites.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Hey, Kevin, I think one thing we need to focus on is maybe the aliens that are on the moon are on Earth as well. Have you ever seen the movie They Live?
Yes, and I would not be surprised if they are on the Earth as well. You know, we tend to think of aliens as being some sort of grotesque-looking things, but evidence seems to show that probably most of them look just like us. So they could walk among us. You know, and we would never even know. Unless, you know, if you got one walking among you and you talk to him for a while, you get to realize something is different. And a case in point would be Jerry Wills. Something is different about Jerry. And, you know, so that they look just like us.
Yeah, I think that that movie I referenced, They Live.
Uh-huh.
At the movie, at the end of it, they ended the movie at a TV station.
Yeah.
And all the TV channels are controlled by the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the reasons why none of the politicians ever get asked point blank, why don't we have any plans to go back to the moon? I don't think we went there in the first place, but if you accept that we did, why aren't we going back?
Yeah, why are we avoiding it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we went in the first place or not, a good question is, why are we avoiding it now? We certainly have the ability to go there. So why are we
avoiding it? Well, Kevin, this is why me and my family, we've turned off our cable television, and we just watch your show from now on.
Well, that's a great, great, great idea. Yeah, and I'm glad that you do. But, you know, it's a shame that, I mean, I enjoy doing this show, but isn't it a shame that there's a need for a show like this? Why aren't the major media doing this?
They're controlled by the aliens, I just told you.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you think that's really the case?
Yes, I do, 100%. No doubt in my mind. All you got to do is turn on the television and just look at it from this point of view of your show tonight and say, why can't they do what Kevin Smith is doing on the networks?
Well, and they certainly could. You know, I play a commercial that at the end of it, it says, Kevin Smith Show, what major media wants to be when they grow up.
And you always talk about what the most important thing is, what somebody is not saying, the news that they
right.
leave out.
That's right. Because what they won't talk about...
What do you say, that black hole in the information?
Uh-huh. Because what they won't talk about is where the truth is.
And the moon is what no one will ever talk about.
It's a mystery, isn't it? And, you know...
And I want to say God bless George Bush, because out of all the things that he screwed up and did wrong, this is one of his bright areas where he said, we're going back to the moon. And, you know, I appreciated him for doing that.
Well, I agree. And, you know, that just, a break just took over, Tony. But that just points out something, that nobody's 100% bad and nobody's 100% good. Everybody's got some good points, though. Tony, thanks for the call, man. Folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
You know, this thing about being warned off the moon is an old story, as you well know.
Yeah.
And why would the politicians who canceled the present program to go to the moon build rockets that would take them into deeper space, when probably the same aliens that would be on the moon would be on these other planets as well?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the thing is, at least for me, why are we avoiding the moon? One thing, Buzz Aldrin says this. He says, well, we've already been to the moon. We don't need to go back. Well, you think, okay, we had 11, 12, 14, 16, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17, they landed on the moon. And you look at the areas where they landed. and you look at the very short space around where they landed that they explored, is that really exploring the moon? I mean, that's basically, you could take all of the moon landings, land them in the southwestern United States in the desert. You could land them all out there and say you've explored the Earth?
No, I agree with that. I'm of the opinion that those just may have been exploratory landings, and when they got enough information from the exploratory landings, they may have discontinued those flights for one reason. They were planning to go into the mining of the moon for certain elements next, and this vehicle that you just shown a picture, why would an alien need a vehicle shaped with a pilot's set in the nose like we build ours?
Well, why would you think they wouldn't?
This vehicle was made on Earth.
Well, why would you think that aliens would not be very much like us?
Well, based on all the years of information that I have accrued, most of the vehicles are either round, delta, or cigar-shaped, and...
Well, that one that we're looking at is cigar-shaped.
Well, it's more like, as you said, a shuttle, a delta configuration.
No, it's not. No, there's no delta. It's a cigar shape, and it's got one little fin, one little wing sticking out at the back on this side of it. But it's
right.
It's not delta
like
at all.
B-37 or X-37,
it's a
little shuttle shape. But
This is basically cigar shape.
I really think that thing was built here. And I think that there's some kind of a program going on. Even, you know, one of your former guests, James Horak, said that there was a possibility that we might want to mine the moon for, I think, hydrogen.
Helium-3,
yes. And what better way to do it than to plant the idea that we can't go back there. We've been warned off, and thus, you know, we don't get that coverage.
Well, yeah, except they're not planting the idea that we've been warned off. The official story never says anything about that.
That's true, but, you know, you don't have to plant a story officially to get it in the hands or the minds of enough people.
Well, that's true. But it doesn't explain why, when they had another flight already paid for, already built, already to fly, and they had a crew ready to go, they canceled. It doesn't explain that.
There are indications that maybe they did not cancel that program, and they flew it from the equator down in the West Indies, and that they've been flying from down in there for many years now.
So what do you think about these structures that I showed first?
Those structures are old. I think they've been there a long time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say there haven't been aliens there and are not. I think there are on both counts. But if we can accept the idea that aliens are here on Earth working with our military and industrial complex, it's not much of a further jump to assume that they're doing the same thing on the moon.
Okay, so sum up. What are you saying about this?
I'm saying that the structures and everything indicate a very old civilization that's been there thousands and thousands of years, but that somewhere there's been some kind of a switch in the political approach to this, and the public is being kept out of it. And I think when they get to Mars officially, that they're going to have the same problem there. They're going to find that they're being warned off of Mars. In fact, if you look at the history back down when the Martian satellites were destroyed, the Russian Martian satellite was destroyed by something that came up from Phobos, I think they've already been warned off.
So who do you think did that? You think that was aliens, or do you think that was us?
No, I think that was aliens. Like I said, I think that there's a joint cooperation going on Earth, on Mars, and on Moon. And Who would I say it is? I can only speculate. But I would say, based on the history, based on where you'll know where I'm going, the Sumerian history, that we may be dealing with the Anunnaki.
Okay.
And just because their planet's not close doesn't mean that they're not. They can fly here from any point based on, you know, the technology that they have.
So do you
think they still exist?
Do you think we ought to stay off of the moon, or do you think we ought to go back and say we're here now?
Definitely not. You know, if a man can put it in his head to do something, he should do it. But I think we need to change our it's me or nothing attitude and take the guns off of our vehicles, if we have them, and go up there, you know, with a different heart set and mindset.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, thanks for the call, man.
All right.
All right. Phone lines are open, and also the Flash message line is open. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can still participate in the show, even if you don't want to make the international long-distance call. Ross in the UK says, "Hi, Kevin. Fantastic show tonight. It looks to me as if the photographic evidence is pretty conclusive. The black hole in the information is blinding, and the silence coming from the powers that want to be is deafening. The cracks in the dam are getting larger every day, so the secret keepers should prepare to get soaked very soon." Thank you, Ross. I agree. All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Lloyd. I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay, Lloyd, let me get you to turn around there and turn down the volume on your radio or computer. We can hear me coming back.
Okay. I'm positive I've seen a Martian.
Okay.
I'm positive you've seen one. And I think all you got to do is look at any royal family, and you're looking at the Martians.
What makes you think that?
Well, it's the only thing that makes any sense. The forget what his name is now, but he tells about Venus coming in around 5,000 years ago. And that it went by Mars, and it sucked all the water off of Mars, and then it come by Earth, and we sucked all the water off Venus. And Mars was populated with millions of people before Venus come by, but they were very smart, and they had spaceships and everything else, and they come to Earth.
So you think that Queen Elizabeth
evidently landed in the Arab area over there, and that's where our religions come from, is that these people, these Martians, were smart. They had spaceships. You can read about them in the Bible. It's full of spaceships and stuff like that, and all of our ancient writings are full of flying saucer.
All right, do you think
Martians have come?
Do you think that Queen Elizabeth is a Martian?
What's that?
You think Queen Elizabeth is a Martian?
Absolutely. I think there's millions of them. I think there's millions of them on the planet here. I think when Mars was going to get destroyed, they had great migrations come here. I would say probably half the people on Earth, or maybe all of them, are at least partly Martian.
And that includes you?
Oh, yeah, you too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's where a great deal of our intelligence comes from. If you ever read the Indian text over there, and they talk about the Vermanas, and if you go on the internet and Google atomic explosion in India, it tells you about this city that was hit by an atomic bomb, and everybody wiped out, and it was about, they say on the article, it says from 8 to 12,000 years ago. Well, now that's hard evidence. That's for sure that happened. And it was those people that went to Mars. They went there. I think it was everybody on Earth, every religion after the precession of equinoxes, but I don't think they know why. But they if you go look at any religion, the Indians, they're obsessed with this precession of the equinoxes. And what happens is every 12,000 years is a disaster happens here. And it's about to happen again. And
what do you
they've lost track of why they're looking at it. They just know because they set up the calendars, they set up the rocks, they set up the observation precession of the equinoxes, but through time they've forgotten why.
What do you think is about to happen? You said that
comes.
Okay, whoa, Lloyd, listen. You said you think another disaster is about to happen. We're almost to a break, so tell us real quick what's about to happen.
The sun is going to go into the space, what they call a dark rift there, and it's going to pick up a lot of dust, and it's going to get hot. And the Hopi Indians tell you it's going to get so hot that the grass is going to burst into flames. That's what's going to happen. And they keep us busy looking for planets coming in and meteors and all this stuff, and that's just a diversion to keep you from knowing what exactly is going to happen. And just exactly what they've done before here, the elite get in the spaceships and go to Mars.
I wish we had more time, but we don't. The break just took over. All right, Lloyd, thank you for calling. A very interesting call. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go to the telephone lines. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is your friend Elias from Portland, Maine.
Hello, Elias.
Hi. This is a really interesting topic to me because I'm of the opinion that humanity's history is much, much, much older than we're told. I know that you share that opinion. And I think it's entirely probable that there have been really advanced human civilizations in our past, and that those human civilizations may have gone to places like the Moon and Mars. And, you know, we know that there are periodic natural disasters and cataclysms on our little planet here. And sometimes, you know, a colony like the Moon or Mars could get cut off from the home world when something really tragic like that happens. And that's what I think we're seeing.
So you think, basically, in essence, it's us, but it's us from the past out there on these on the Moon and on Mars?
I do think that. And I think that also explains the like the Nordics or the Tobla and the human-looking quote-unquote aliens that we see. I think it's possible that these are survivors from the earlier really advanced human civilizations from our past, and they're coming back to see how we're doing.
Well, you know, it could be. It really could be. Yes, I do think.
Especially when you look at, excuse me.
I do think that we had extremely advanced civilizations in the past, and I think the evidence is all over the planet. And so it would not be inconceivable for your theory to be correct. Perhaps we did have outposts on the moon. Perhaps we, the earlier civilization, perhaps had outposts on Mars and then got cut off because of disaster here.
Well, it's only natural. It's what we're planning on doing, isn't it? We're going to go to the moon and put bases there and go to Mars and put bases there. Why wouldn't other human civilizations from our past have done the same?
Good point. Good point.
There's a story that I don't know if you're familiar with or not, but there's a rumor out there that when the astronauts went to the moon, they saw a building that they described as looking like a giant Japanese pagoda. And and I know that the Japanese believe in their myths that the royal family of Japan came from the stars,
mm-hmm.
and that they did have a place on the moon that was called the Palace of Cold. And we know that the moon is fairly cold compared to Earth, and I thought that was an interesting correlation.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did a show on that one night with Robert Morningstar. And,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very, very interesting story. And there, part of the story is that this princess plays a flute. And whenever the astronauts were going around the moon, there is one set of recordings of the astronauts talking, "Do you hear that?" And the other one says, "Yeah, that's strange." And Houston's asking them what they hear, and they're hearing music that sounds like a flute.
Very interesting. Very mm-hmm. interesting. We know that you can encode a lot of information mathematically with music, so perhaps that was the way one of our earlier civilizations did their information transfers, was through music like that.
Could be. Really could be.
On a slightly related note, I uh-huh. was wondering if you are familiar with the holiday known as Yuri's Night.
I'm sorry, the what?
There's a holiday, an event called Yuri's Night. Are you familiar with it?
No.
It's a holiday that's celebrated in many parts of the world, but we don't celebrate it a lot here in the U.S. because it originated in Russia with the Russian space program. But it celebrates, on April 12th, it celebrates the night that Yuri Gagarin first orbited the Earth. And it's a rolling party that starts at Greenwich Mean Time on the 12th. And as the Earth turns, people all over the world celebrate parties to celebrate space exploration and space culture. And this year, 2011, is the 50th anniversary of human spaceflight. And I recommend that you and all the listeners go ahead to the Yuri's Night website, if you look it up, and you can register your party if you're having one, and you can see what everyone else on the Earth is, and it's a pretty wonderful thing, I think.
Well, I think so. You know, Yuri Gagarin, here in the U.S., everybody thinks the first guy in space was Alan Shepard. He was the first American in space.
Right.
Yuri was in space, what, a year or so before that?
Yep.
Yeah. And, it is true. The Russians were winning the space race. And since they're still in the manned spacecraft business and we're not, I guess they won.
I would have to say so.
Yeah.
I would have to say so. Although, again, I do like to think about it as a human achievement.
Well, and I think Yuri thought of it that way. Yuri talked about it that way as well.
He did, you know, and it's interesting because he was a military man. He was an Air Force officer for the Soviet Union, and going into space really changed him. Being able to see the Earth the way he did from that perspective turned him into not only a pacifist but also an environmentalist, and I think that's something that we could all do with increasing our perspective with. And I think Yuri's Night is a great way to do that.
Well, thanks for letting us know about it. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call, Elias. Thank you. We're racing towards the end of the show, so I have to run, but thank you so much for the call. I want to remind everybody that of something I said at the start of the show, and that is that if you know, I hope you're coming out to Los Angeles, and we've got lots of folks listening to us in California, so that's certainly within driving distance for you. And I hope you're coming out to the Alchemy event November the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Now, if you can only make it one day, we've got a special thing going on. The organizer of this event, David Farman, has made this special arrangement for everybody that wants to come out on Sunday. Now, Sunday is the day that I'll be speaking. Walter Bosley will be speaking that day. And probably some others that are still... I mean, there's a whole bunch of others speaking that day, maybe one or two more that are still kind of under consideration that you've heard right here on the show. So the special deal is $59 for all day Sunday. You get into all of the events, $59. The regular price for that is $129. $59, you get into all the events. Now, you have to provide for your own lunch, but you were going to do that anyway, right? But $59, and you're in to all of the events at Alchemy Event on Sunday the 13th, November the 13th. I hope you'll do this. Really, I do. The address is alchemyevent.com/ID5, the number 5, .html. alchemyevent.com/ID5.html. And, hey, get over there and register for this. Come out and meet me and meet the other guests. I want to meet you. I want to get my picture taken with you. And if you're interested in any way in attending my 2012 party, I need to get your contact information out there, too, okay? If you happen to have my book, Gods in the Garden, bring it with you. I'll be glad to sign it for you. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.